think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. The Vixen is a new exciting performance venue in McHenry that actually has a long history. We'll get into all that and talk about some really cool upcoming stand-up comedy and electrifying music shows and events that the Vixen has in store. Joining me now from the Vixen is Mike Sullivan, owning investor and operating manager. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Ricky. Thank you for having me.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the history of this theater, and then we'll talk about some of the great stuff that's coming up for it. So this, the theater actually has a long history dating back to, I want to say, 1919. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's a lot of rich history here. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is this theater was initially erected to be a live entertainment space for, at the time, live performances, silent films, and different acts that they would come through. It was built by John and Maddie Smith, who were on the road theatrical performers themselves. And they had the idea at the time. This, you know, McHenry was a hot vacation spot with the lake here, and a lot of people would pop in and look for some entertainment. And they built this at the time. So it's funny that, you know, we've come back full circle around from a live entertainment space to a movie theater that was holding, you know, silent films, and then the success of films at the time sort of forced their hand to become a full-time movie theater, where it stayed up until recently, and now full circle again is a live entertainment space.
Yeah, now, some people may be familiar with the space under the name the McHenry Downtown Theater, and that ran for a bit. What was the emphasis there with that theater? Was that a movie theater or was that a live event theater?
That was a movie theater. You know, John and Maddie Smith continued to show movies up until, I believe, it was about 1951 when it burned down. John had passed. Maddie ran it. Maddie had passed. They passed it on then to their operating manager at the time of the movie theater. And then the place burned down in 1951 to a horrendous fire.
But I understand the community really came together after that fire to rebuild, in essence. Is that true?
They really did. And which is funny is now we are under a community investor model once again. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people joined in together to rebuild together and put their money and their talent to work and really reopen that back up. And it operated that way up until about 2014. And at that point, 2014, it shut down just because it didn't have the equity and the funds to be able to come to speed with the digital requirements needed to continue to operate as a movie theater. And then in 2018, a group of us got together, led by our mayor, Wayne Jett, and we reopened up as a movie theater at that point, reinvested and bought the digital equipment necessary, did a complete renovation, and reopened in 2018.
Very neat. And now it's no longer a movie theater. Now the focus is on live events, stand-up comedy, music, anything that's going to thrill a live audience. How did that come about? What was the impetus to bring it back as a live venue?
Yeah, it's funny. And well, I guess, you know, sometimes every unfortunate incident leads to the ability to bring back life and new opportunity. And I think this is the case here with COVID. You know, COVID only escalated, I think, in my opinion, what was already happening to movies and what is continuing to happen with, you know, movie theaters, which is live streaming has taken over and I think will continue to take over. So we started seeing that a little bit. And while the movie theater started seeing success, you know, the town and the area started really falling in love with the place. COVID hit, studios completely discontinued releasing new movies. doors closed for a little bit while we had a social distance and you know, sort of get our arms around this thing. And then, you know, about a couple months went by and we reopened. And at that point, studios were still not releasing movies. So we had to sort of resort to throwbacks. And then as Wayne and I were talking at the time, you know, we sort of, you know, dove in a little bit. I had a rich history in live entertainment. I worked at Ticketmaster for 13 years and we looked at each other and we said, you know, let's build a small stage and see if we can maybe bring some live entertainment to the area. And that's exactly what we did. And then we hired our first act, which was Jim Florentine, a stand-up comic. He hosted that metal show on MTV or on VH1. He was part of Crank Yankers, and I was overall just a fan of his forever. And I sort of reached out to his agent and asked if he'd come perform, and we sold out quickly, two back-to-back shows in one night.
Wow.
And we sort of looked at each other, and yeah, we said, let's try this again. So we hired Kevin Farley to come perform, Chris Farley's brother, who looks and acts exactly like Chris Farley. It's sort of creepy, but totally fun. Really nice guy. And again, sold two back-to-back shows out. So we kept trying this. And even when studios started releasing movies back into the theaters, they were doing it subsequently while streaming. So really sort of stabbing in the backs of movie theater owners and saying, hey, we're going to let you guys have these movies again. You got to hold these movies for 3 weeks, by the way. And then we're also going to let it stream. So it was really handcuffing us. And then their percentage of profit was starting to really escalate. And it just was no longer a profitable business. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be the future of most movie theaters at this point. It's going to be difficult for them to hang on. So as we kept bringing in a ton of live entertainment, the community really responded in a positive way. We held a couple of concerts, doing pianos and multiple comedy shows, and they just continued to have a positive reaction. So at some point, Wayne and I and the investors, we all looked at each other and we said, you know, I think we see the future here, and that is to really open up the space, knock down the walls in between the individual theaters, and let's go big or go home. Let's really reinvest, you know, all of our funds, all of our money that we have. Let's repool again and put together some quality sound. And one of the things that we really had was a lot of trying to get real talent said, you know, you guys are just too small. You know, at the time it was 120 people.
Mm.
And they all said, if you guys were, you know, 400, 700, you could really start to drive some of these bigger names and we'd sign on with you. So the writing was on the wall, and that's exactly what we did.
And so the venue actually seats 780 is capacity. Is that correct?
780 is a standing room show. We do have some concerts that will be standing room that we've booked. You know, but most for sitting at tables, we're looking at about 400.
Okay. And what is the guiding principle that you follow in choosing acts? Is there a process to it? Is it just who you can get? What's your process?
I think the process is, you know, you have to understand who your audience is in the area. And we want to appeal to literally every genre, every type of person, right? And I think that's how you see the most success. You know, some people like stand-up comedy, and we try to, you know, we'll tap into some of the comics that are touring, see if we can maybe squeeze them in on one of their tours. And we're really trying to target some of these more known names, I guess you could say. And we've had some luck doing that. And so, you know, after we book a comic, we say, maybe we can grab a rock act for the following night. We're really trying to balance between a concert and a comedy show every weekend.
Mm.
And it's been working out pretty well so far. And, you know, maybe it's a country act, maybe it's a rock act, maybe it's a comedy show the next night, appealing to all these audiences. And we, in fact, just recently held a teen night for teens, you know, 13 to 17, a place where they can go have a great time. We brought a DJ on stage and allowed them to dance, play games. You know, we raffled off a bunch of gift cards and stuff like that. So it's really appealing to all these different audiences and finding out what people want. And I think that's when you're going to find the different genres where we're looking at a Hispanic act a very well-known Hispanic act that we want to bring in the theater to appeal to that audience in mm-hmm. the area, right? We want to bring something in for a little everyone, a kids act, a magic show. So that's really how we approach things.
And how far in advance do you book? I mean, I assume some acts you have to plan a year in advance, probably. And others, it's, well, let's get something for next weekend. What's the balance there?
Yeah, that's a great question. For some of our larger names, we do have to book a year in advance. One of those we recently booked was Kevin Nealon.
Mm-hmm. From Saturday Night Live and Weeds. And, yeah.
Weeds. And he's been on some of the most iconic Saturday Night Live skits in history. And he will be doing a stand-up show in April. So that's how far in advance we had to book him. Sometimes we get a phone call and, you know, it's a month or two out and they say we're playing in the area. We'd love to come and squeeze by. And so sometimes we do that if we don't have anything on the books. But the majority of things at this point, we're looking at probably in advance 4 to 6 months is probably what we're looking at on the majority of our acts.
And do you book those acts yourself? Does it go before a committee? How are the choices made?
It is an all hands on deck approach. So, you know, I mentioned Wayne, myself. We definitely have our hands in to make sure that we're, you know, in agreement with what we're bringing in. But we also brought on another partner of ours who has a rich history in the county and in the area of booking some of our largest acts. And he's now a partner of ours. And his name is Jeff Kleinschmidt. Jeff also was responsible historically for booking the acts for Fiesta Days, booking the acts for the McHenry County Fair historically. He's really experienced and knowledgeable and has a ton of great contacts that has really been helpful in bringing a lot of the shows that we have on the schedule today. So he's been instrumental in the concert sides of things, right? And I've sort of taken on the comedy side and maybe some more of the kids shows and whatnot, just because it helps offset. And I've had the comedy experience from when I started this a couple years back in the beginning of the pandemic. So we play well together. It's been a group effort and we're working really well together.
Now, you said you're trying to meet the needs of the community. You want to offer something for everybody. Is there a process for people in the community to share their ideas of what they would like to see?
100%. We have a great following in our Facebook page, and our local community is not shy about sharing that with us. And in fact, we're very engaged with them on our social media. We respond to nearly every post that we see. There's also a submission form on our website at vixenmchenry.com where people can post or submit a form for artist submissions. And we've taken a lot of what we've received there, local bands that are looking to catch a break or to join the stage and just, you know, have an opportunity to play in front of others. So we read those submissions and we figure out, yeah, is there a way for us to pair this with, you know, we have a lot of our tribute performers that are coming in and we look at it and say, hey, maybe this will be great with, I don't know, a Nirvana cover or a Blink-182 cover or whatever else like that. So we've been doing a lot of that. There's an opportunity of that quite often. And then we also have just a lot of people through the grapevine reaching out to us. I mean, people are really, really excited about what we're doing. So we have a lot of people emailing us, asking us if there's opportunities to play, because we don't just have our large venue, right? We also built a small stage in our lounge that we bring in local acoustic performers that, you know, can perform on a Saturday late afternoon prior to a big show and people can come and get their night started early. So we're trying to mix and mingle a little bit, but we rely heavily on our local talent.
Now, you said there's a submission process for local acts. Do you, from trying to understand what you said, do you pair these local acts as openers for the national acts coming through?
Sometimes if they're a nice pairing and a similar genre of music, we'll definitely do that.
That sounds like a really great opportunity for some of these local bands to share the stage with some great performers and get some exposure.
100%. And that's exactly what we want to do. Like I said before, we're trying to be a venue, not just for entertainment for the area, but for opportunities for local performers to show off their skills. We're talking about doing a sort of like a McHenry Idol format, where we're going to give everyone an opportunity to, you know, in a contest format, you know, show us, you know, their best skills and maybe, you know, go through a voting process and then crown a champion to give them some exposure as well. We're trying to do a lot for the community, really.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream podcasts of each show at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by Mike Sullivan, the operations manager at The Vixen, a fantastic performance venue bringing stand-up comedy and live music acts to McHenry. To keep up to date on events coming to The Vixen, go to vixenmchenry.com. Now, Mike, how often is the events section of your website updated? Is this something that people should be checking regularly?
Very regularly. One of my great pals and a dear friend, James Cantrell, has stepped up, and he's been helping us out just because he's a fan and he's a friend. And he's doing a lot of our website updates for us at no cost whatsoever. I mean, you know, we're getting into some free shows. So, but he updates this. Him and I talk on a daily basis, and we're running through updates as we get them in real time. So, yes, this is real time updates on a daily.
Very neat. Now let's talk about some of the acts that you have coming up in the next coming months. Who do we have coming up next?
Well, next we're looking at some local bands that we have, some local DJs that we have every weekend, Friday and Saturday night, from about 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. You're going to find different DJs that'll be performing. DJ Mark Essis. We have an EDM night that's going to happen on Saturday, June 25th. So we're really trying to grab, and we found the younger crowd, the 20-somethings, really like this EDM side of the thing. But as mentioned before, we're really focused in a little bit on other genres as well. We have Shaman's Harvest, which is a great band, often played on some of the local rock channels and very well known. We have a Blink 182 tribute show called Blink 180 True. That'll be July 16th. And one of the big ones, one of the most exciting shows that we just recently announced, and actually there's two of those back to back, on August 14th, we're bringing Yngwie Malmsteen, which is an absolute rock legend up there with Steve Vai, and I think Time Magazine called one of the greatest.
He is one of the greatest metal rock, hard rock guitarists of all time. And that's actually, I was really impressed to see that you landed him. And I was also impressed that it's a very affordable show. Tickets are really amazingly affordable for that one. So I really encourage people to, you know, if you're looking to give The Vixen a try, this would be a great show to come out for. You know, do you get a sense from the community that this type of music is going to be popular?
I really do. As I mentioned before, we're really engaged on social media, and we listen to what the followers and the fans have to say and the reaction, and read every single comment. And the response that we have when we announced Yngwie was super positive, a lot of shares, a lot of talking about it. I think this one's going to do really well. And likewise, when we announced, a legendary country band, Lone Star. August 25th. That one also had a really positive reaction. So I think we're gauging on what our fans and our community really want to see and what they really like based on what they're going to turn out for. And we're watching it closely.
You know, it's really exciting that you can book acts so diverse. I mean, it's hard to think of two acts as different as Yngwie Malmsteen and Lone Star. They're both legendary, and here you are putting both types of music on for the community, and it's being embraced by the community. I think that's wonderful. And, you know, I hope people can continue to turn out to The Vixen to support this, and so we can continue putting on more and more great shows. Now, after Lone Star, you have Striper coming up, which is another legendary band. Some favor them because they're a metal act. Some favor them because they're a Christian metal act, but they just make great music. Is that one that you booked just out of them being available, or did you have actual input from the community on that one?
That one was more of a Jeff Kleinschmidt get, as I mentioned before, when my partner who has connections and knew they were touring and they hadn't yet booked a Chicago area date. So he was quick to react on that one, reached out to his contacts, and lucky for us, was able to land him. I think this goes back to it's all about sometimes it's about who you know. And I think we leaned on Jeff for this one.
Very cool. Now, I know some theaters, some of these acts do, in addition to their shows, they do meet and greet appearances. Do you ever do that with any of your acts?
So, yes, we're definitely planning that. we had been working with a couple of comics that were talking about some meet and greet performances. Pat Tomasulo was one of them. He wanted to do it. He was one that we hired previously. And it was in the middle of a pandemic, and he was just not at a point where he was able to do that. But 100%, we are working with our acts to make sure that we're able to do this. We have, and that's one of the things that we built when we first started talking about this, was we wanted a killer green room, not just for our talent to be able to hang out, some privacy, a private bathroom. And heck, we even put in a washer and dryer. So when they're on their tour bus, they have a place where they can wash their clothes, because I know sometimes they're on the road for a long time. We want to be able to provide that. But it's also a really large space. It's going to give us the opportunity to bring people backstage, meet with their, you know, favorite performers, and have an opportunity for these meet and greets. So yes, absolutely, we'll be doing more of those.
Now, are these bigger shows like Striper and Lone Star and Yngwie, are those more of the standing shows, or are those with seats?
Yeah, it all depends on the act. For Yngwie, we are doing an all-seated show, like we recently did for Femmes of Rock, where it's almost like a stadium seating. You know, it's chairs lined up one after the other. So we'll be doing that for Yngwie. Some of these other acts, you know, it's if demand and popularity is there, it might be all standing, especially for the younger crowd who has no problem standing for at least a couple hours while they enjoy their favorite performer. So it'll be a mixture. And then some acts we have, like Striper, that'll be, you know, you'll have an opportunity to be on the floor as GA if you're willing to stand for the show, but also an opportunity to be seated at tables in different tiers behind you. So for some of these acts, it's going to be a mixture of both. We're trying to, you know, really gauge what our fans like and what they're asking for here.
So a little bit of the best of both worlds.
We're definitely trying, 100%.
Now, you also included in your seating capacity, you have a VIP balcony. Is that special seating? Is that reserved? Can a company rent out the entire balcony? How is that structured?
Yeah, actually, great question. So we actually have two different areas for that. So we have a VIP section that's located right when you walk into the venue, and it's gated off away from the rest of the admission and patrons. And you have the ability there to rent out the entire space for your party, up to 10 to 20 people, which include your own private cocktail waitress or waiter. So that's one area. And then we also do have a balcony section where we're having front row seats up to the balcony. And it might be the best seat in the house, to be honest with you. It's a bird's eye view, front row, really looking down on the act in a really great seat. The ability to rent that entire balcony out is still there as well. We have been selling those by the seat. But certainly, you know, if an act is coming up on sale and someone wants to rent out the entire balcony, we're willing to entertain that idea as well.
Now, you have a couple stand-up comedians coming as well. I see Robert Kelly is coming in September, on September 24th. Can you share a little bit with the audience about what they could expect from a Robert Kelly show?
Oh, Robert Kelly is one of the most underrated comics of all time. You could just Google him, and he's got deep ties with the likes of Bill Burr and some of the greatest comics in history. He performed with us about a year and a half ago, and I didn't see a single person there that wasn't in tears and laughter. He is a very underrated comic. He's on SiriusXM on a regular basis with a Jim Norton and Sam Roberts show. He will be maybe the best comedy show that you've probably seen in your life. And I'm not saying that because he's performing with us, but I'm saying that because this is literally how I felt when I seen him perform. And he's got a whole new skit material. He's very engaged with the crowd, plays off the crowd in a beautiful way. It's adult. It's definitely in an adult atmosphere. But I promise to anyone that wants to attend that one, if you know Robert Kelly, or if you don't, you're going to walk away with that one and smiles. I promise.
That one's a guaranteed laugher right there. You're going to have a good time.
100%.
And then I also wanted to mention Jamie Kennedy is coming on October 1st. That is a really exciting show. Jamie had his own television show. I think it was on Fox, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment. And he's been in a bunch of delightful movies. Tell the audience a little bit about what they can expect from a Jamie Kennedy show.
Jamie Kennedy show. Yeah, he'll touch a little bit about, you know, his career. He'll talk a little bit about that, but he really has his own new stand-up routine that's part of his new, I believe it's called I stand up so you can sit down tour, I think is what it is. And he's been on this tour for probably close to a year now. And we were lucky to be able to loop him in. Genuine down to earth guy. I've talked to a lot of people that attended his show and again, had the audience in stitches. So I think anyone that walks away from this is going to feel a little nostalgia because he is going to touch a little bit about, you know, his history and comedy and his history in movies a little bit, but also a lot of new material that they're going to be really excited about.
And then, of course, we have Kevin Nealon coming in about a year in April, right?
In April, Kevin Nealon, an absolute legend. Yeah, he has a stitch of his own that we'll also maybe touch a little bit on some of his Saturday Night Live appearances. We also had Chris Kattan in a similar vein several months back. Chris Kattan was fantastic. And this is a little bit more around that too, where Kevin Nealon has the opportunity to touch on some of those old skits that he was a part of. So I think you'll hear a little bit of that. And then just the ultimate Kevin Nealon, where he's just a legend in his own shoes, you know? So it's going to be an honor to have him here with us.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can always stream the show at huntleyradio.com. We've been visiting with our new friend Mike Sullivan of The Vixen, an exciting theater and lounge for enjoying live music and stand-up comedy. The Vixen is located at 1208 North Green Street in McHenry. You will find ticket information and a regularly updated list of events at vixenmchenry.com. I encourage you to check out some of the upcoming shows. It is a delightful place to enjoy great music and comedy. Mike, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and we'll see you in the spotlight.
Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for your time.